So tonight, a little bit different. If you came for the standard baby Jesus message, not so much because he came as a babe but grew up to be a man and is the man child that we know so well. And we've been doing a series, if you've been watching it, if you've been here, called Revealing Jesus. And so tonight, I thought of doing something a little bit different but the same. We're still going to do Revealing Jesus tonight. So that would be part 12 of our series. But we've been leading up to this very moment since we started this in October, this series Revealing Jesus. And we have that slide up. So we have a look. We started with unveiling Jesus, then we went through all the different the preachers went through different aspects of revealing Jesus to us and who Jesus is. And it came upon me without me actually really planning it that tonight we're going to talk about Jesus revealed. His birth child came and he's revealed to us. And so when we think of Christmas, and I saw a funny thing on Facebook and probably some of you saw it, and I thought it tickled my sense of humor. It said, please be nice to the shopping assistant. It's not their fault that you waited till Mary's water broke before you decided to go shopping. The ladies get it, the men, what did he just say? Because who waits, the men of course, not the women, who waits till Christmas Eve to go shopping? Yeah, I know. So anyway, when we think about Christmas, we think of different ideas and images and Christmas parades and street lined with Christmas decorations. And if you go down just off Bailey, there's a couple of houses down there. I hate to know what their bill is by the end of December. But they do an amazing display of lights and the glittering ornaments. Homes are extravagantly decorated and go out and put things outside and on the lawn. And the good news about this year is we can actually go out in the front yard and build snowmen. And we listen to Christmas carols and we sing them. And generally Christmas is thought of a happy time. And it's a time for celebration, a time for joy, a time for goodwill and good cheer. And now some of the people say, yeah, but you don't know my circumstances, there's nothing joyful for me. Well, if we have Jesus revealed to us, then it's not about our circumstances, it's about Jesus and the glory that he brings. So the question is, and last week a number of prophetic words coming through on how do we respond to this, how do we respond to that, how do we respond to this? So I thought, well, I believe the Holy Spirit's speaking, so we're going to listen to what he says. I have a chunky piece of scripture I'm going to read through, so we're going to read Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to look at a different angle of Christmas this time. Verse 1, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, and saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, and O you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. Verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. Verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. That's like a double positive. They were like over the moon. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now, that is the setting scene for these wise men. And we have a look at it. And there were three responses by the people here. And some were disturbed and troubled, some were indifferent, and some were worshippers. The ones that were disturbed and troubled was led by the king, the head honcho, the main man, King Herod. He was troubled and disturbed about this at the birth of this child. And all Jerusalem. It was like this king had a lot of power. And one has to be careful with how you wield power. Because now they all, the king's upset. We better be upset with him. But perhaps they thought, but we already have a king. What is there another king that they're talking about? The second group of people are indifferent. Well, it says all the religious leaders and the scribes, the teachers, they knew of this impending birth. I find it fascinating, the birth of this king, king of the Jews, the one who would be called king of the Jews, that this king would be the shepherd over Israel. He is the one who would come and lead them and rule them. Because if you go and read Micah chapter 5, you will find in there that Micah the prophet prophesied about this stuff. So if they were good Torah students, if they read the first five books of Moses, they would have known and that this Micah was a prophet. But they were fairly indifferent to yes, king, we know about it. It's been prophesied and this king is going to be born. But, you know, they didn't go and worship him. And then we have the true worshippers. Now we know, and some people get upset when we point out that the nativity scenes that we have aren't really true to form. Because we will see that these wise men didn't come when Jesus was in a stable. They came much later. And the shepherds were there, and they came in, and the shepherds and some town folk, we imagine. And then, of course, these most exemplary wise men from the east. Now, who are these wise men from the east? And we need to understand a little bit about them and why I say what I say. They were called the Magi or the Magi, depending how you like to say it. And they were astrologers and they were studied and they were learned. And they had understood that there would be a time when this came. And so, of course, the way my brain works, I want to know, well, if they came from the east, they probably came from Persia, which is probably today, modern-day Iran, where they came from. For them to get across would have taken about 18 months for them to get there when the star appeared and they saw this thing. But if we go and study a little bit, well, how did they know all this stuff? Well, if we go back and we read in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, 24 to 27, there's prophecy there of these Magi, that Daniel introduced them to the scriptures and to the word of God. And they were convinced about this prophecy. And then the prophet Balaam in Numbers 24:17 says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And this is the prophetic warning or excitement of this taking place. And when the star was revealed to them, they gave up everything they were doing right then and said, hey guys, let's go, and there's the star, and we have to follow it, because they were the astrologers and they understood this, and they started going off and they moved and got into this train. Now, another thing, I know people, there were three kings. Well, I don't think there were three kings, because if they did a caravan journey from where they came, the historians tell us there would be at least a minimum of 12 people in the caravan. We say there's three kings because they gave three gifts, but that doesn't really mean there were only three. But anyway, that's something else. So these Magi men or Magi men came, and they read and believed God's word. They studied the scriptures because they were learned men. They sought after Jesus. they recognized the worth of this Christ, that they would do this journey. Because when they eventually got to meet Jesus, the stories will tell you, he was probably about 2 years old. He wasn't this tiny, just born baby. They humbled themselves and came and worshipped King Jesus. Who is this king? And they thought rather they would obey God rather than man, because that made them also not just learned men, but truly wise men. So the question out of some of the prophetic words last week was, how do we respond to this kind of stuff? How do we respond? So how to respond when Jesus is revealed? And I trust over this series, if you've been following it, that you've been getting a deeper revelation of who Jesus is. I want us to note there are about seven things that these wise men did that qualify them not only to be learned, but wise. Those that the child, Christ child, was to be revealed to. And as I've already said, the preachers over this series have been revealing Jesus to us bit by bit in different shapes and forms of who he is and what he is. And these three wise men came not to follow the crowd, or to be troubled or indifferent. And today, as Christmas Eve, we want to see Christ revealed for us to worship him in spirit and in truth, the babe who would be our Savior of the world. So number one, they had a revelation of the Christ child, because they said, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? It wasn't like we sort of heard there was a baby, you know, what's the deal? They came knowing full well, where is he who is born King of the Jews? And this was probably the first New Testament connection for Gentiles to come and worship a king. A plan was unfolding. Now, we have to understand that at the time, the Jewish people were also despised and dishonored because of their unique customs and beliefs. They wanted to be successful and prosperous, and they were viewed as a conquered people. They're low and troublesome, and you know, nothing good can come out of Nazareth, so they say. And it's remarkable that they would trouble themselves to honor an infant king, even more so this king that they declare is King of the Jews. Many probably had seen the star. I mean, this thing was so bright, the Bethlehem star, the evening star, whatever, you know. But for them to understand that this was the Messiah being revealed to them. And when we truly look for the Christ, we're not only looking, but observe. Do you know you can look without seeing? You know, you stare at something for half an hour, and then you walk away, and someone says, wow, did you see that? And they go, no. We have to not only learn to look, we have to learn to observe, take in, meditate on, think of when we see, but taking the cognizance of this revelation of this baby, Christ Jesus. Many who recognize the signs of the coming of Jesus because failed to study God's word or had a revelation of Jesus or Jesus revealed, they act like this is something out of the normal. Too many are like the religious leaders and the scribes. They're indifferent to what God is doing. Number two, they observed. I love this, and this is just, you know, you've got to read something slowly sometimes. They said, for we saw his star. Wasn't a star. We saw his star. They recognized, this is the baby Jesus star. This is the one, King of the Jews. This is the one who will shepherd and lead Israel and all of mankind into the future. They were looking for this promised star. They were not only just looking, they were observing as astrologers. Because they were looking, they therefore saw. And we will only find Jesus and see Jesus when we look for him. When we truly think about it, when we go about our days, when we are true worshipers. And if you're part of this body, you will know that we don't see worship just as singing songs. It's a lifestyle. Everything we do is worship to Jesus. If they hadn't been looking for it, they would have just maybe, hey, bright star tonight, let's carry on doing what we're doing. And they have to understand that these chief priests didn't get it, what they were doing. And they couldn't tell where this Christ was to be born. They're like, yeah, we heard it in the prophecy, but we're not so sure. You know, it's just like, we don't need to worship him. Number three, these wise men, they responded. We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Man, they were on a mission, these guys. They were intentional. They knew what they were about. Too often, we might see, we might look, we might understand, but we fail to respond. As I would say, we fail to pull the trigger, as it were. We fail to actually get ourselves into action. Forgive me. New Year's resolutions, they're for wannabes. We should be like Nike and just do it. We should just respond. When the Lord speaks, we should respond. Well, I've got this, and I'm sorry if you do this, I've got this New Year's resolution, and by day two, I've broken it already. And that's why I say it's for, you know, they don't mean very much. And we see this, you know, if these guys, so if it took them 18 months to get there, it's going to take them 18 months to get back, and if my math serves me, that's 36 months. Say 40 months away from home, give up what they're doing, come, you know, they could quite easily have said, you know what, guys, this is just too much. This is too far. Do we really know what we're doing? But no, they came to worship him. They had a plan and a purpose of what they wanted to do. There was an intentionality in them. The good news is that we have an opportunity tonight or tomorrow or the next day to change the way we think about Jesus as he is revealed to us. Number four, they rejoiced. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And as I said, that's like a double positive. That's like, I'm so joyful. And we know that being happy and being joyful are two different things. You know, I can be happy about something but not have much joy about it. Their journey was a success. They had reached their destination. They got to the place where they were going to see the Christ child. You know that old hymn song? Only some of you remembered. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. Can you imagine when the wise men came? Oh, the joy that floods my soul. This evening as we sung, O Holy Night. Praise his name forever. What a beautiful thing to do. Number five, they worshipped him. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. So that's just another hot tip, going into the house. Not the cave, not the stable. So they saw Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. These wise men, these men of learning, these men of intellect, men of means, all knowing, went from standing tall to face down, head between their knees, worshipping this child in this home, in his bed, or with his mother holding him, worshipping the boy child. And then they brought the more in gifts is that they worshipped him. The gifts were nice. The gifts were great, but they came and they worshipped him. It must have been a curious sight, seeing Joseph, this carpenter, with his wife Mary and their baby son Jesus. And they come in and they fall down and they worship him. These impressive men who traveled months to get there, fell down and worshipped him. What a prophetic picture. It doesn't matter what statue you hold in life, you can worship the King. Doesn't matter how learned you are. Doesn't matter how wealthy you are. Doesn't matter how poor we are. Shepherds were probably the lowest of the lowest in all of Israel, but they came and worshipped the King when he was born. Number six, they gave. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they came, and I'm sure they didn't come with any hidden meaning behind this, but we've managed to find that that gold represents his kingship, the frankincense represents his priesthood, the anointing oil upon him, and then the myrrh would represent, as myrrh was the oil they would take and embalm people in when they were being buried. And so that was a great picture of what would take place. They came and they were just presenting these gifts of great value because they had found the King that they had sought. And then last point number 7, they obeyed. King Herod told them, listen, this is what I want you to do. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Their worship is manifested in obedience. You know that one of the biggest things we can do in our worship is be obedient to God, be obedient to the Father, to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, for us to follow and be obedient to Him. Jesus revealed to these wise men that it's impossible for them to disobey the dream of God. And when God spoke to these pagan men, they obeyed God in a dream and they followed Him. The glory of the hour did not cloud their obedience or their willingness to do what the Lord had asked them. And sometimes we get so hoist with our own petard, as it were, that we forget to be obedient and to follow King Jesus. And so I've just listed quickly the responses of these wise men. They had a revelation of the Christ child. They observed, they responded, they rejoiced, they worshipped, they gave, and they obeyed. So what should be our responses then as followers of Christ, as worshippers of King Jesus? We observe because we are looking for the Christ daily. And I encourage you, if that's not a practice for you, make it a practice. Look, observe for the King daily. Understand, because you study His Word and we spend time in prayer and honoring Him. And we respond with a deep understanding of Jesus revealed. And we rejoice. We are delighted that God leads us to new and exciting experiences. I know everyone is shouting the pandemic, and then it was Delta, and now it's Omicron, and all this, and woe is me. God is still on the throne. He is still in charge. When we look to Him, learn to focus on Him, all that kind of nonsense fades away. We don't live in fear, but we live in faith. God will get us through this. Then when we worship in spirit and in truth, a lifestyle of worship. When we tell the guys, they come up and someone's doing announcements, that's worship. Because we're doing the King's business. When we sing the songs, that's worship. When we read the scripture, that's worship. When we live our lives, Romans 12, 1 and 2, live our lives according to His Word and pleasing Him and a living sacrifice, that's worship. Everything we do should be seen through that lens of worship. They gave. As Christ followers, we should have hearts of generosity on every occasion. And then they obey. And we know that obedience is better than gifts. Gifts are good. Gifts are nice. Gifts are great to have. But we need to obey. I'm just going to ask the musos to come back up, please, while this last message, the last slide I have here, is a quote from Charles Spurgeon. He says, "We see a wonderful pattern. Those who look for Jesus will see Him. Those who truly see Him will worship Him. And those who worship Him will consecrate their substance to Him." I love the language Charles Spurgeon uses. That when we look and see and observe and we look to the Christ child as we celebrate His birth, as we celebrate the King of the Jews, as it were, but became the King of the world, the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God, that we will understand and praise His name and bless His name. And I just couldn't think of anything more exciting tonight is for us to sing Joy to the World.